You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
We started a few weeks ago this series that you see on your bulletin. It's entitled Identity. And the emphasis has to do with the fact that our identity is not in what we do in life, but rather our identity is in Christ. We talked about, is our identity in Adam or is our identity in Christ? Is our identity in what we do? When people say, well, what do? Is our response, well, you know, I'm a pastor. I'm a fireman. You know, I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse, I'm a teacher. Or is our identity, I'm a Christ follower, here's what I do to pay the bills and take care of the family, but my identity is in being a Christ follower. The Apostle Paul emphasizes this greatly because over and over and over in his book in Ephesians, he talks about being in Christ. It's the focus. Luke kicked it off about with the whole idea of how do I see myself and how does the enemy see me and really how does God see me? We preached a message, I'm in Christ. We preached a message, the Apostle Paul starts off this book and he calls the church at Ephesus, he calls them saints. And they didn't go through the 10-step process to be a saint. He just said, because you're in Christ, he called them saints. How about that? So this morning, good morning, saints. The whole idea, and I know we kind of trivialize that and play with that, but the whole idea is how do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves, we talked about, as a sinner? Sinner saved by grace, or do we see ourselves as a saint in Christ? And then we started a message a couple of weeks ago. Of course, the Katinas were with us last week, and they did fabulous, didn't they? What an incredible, incredible day, and heard so many wonderful reports of God impacting people's lives. And so today, it's the second part of I am blessed. We're not going to read the whole thing as we did previous. It was verses 3 through 14 is what we're covering. We're going to break it down verse by verse. There's two emphases in particular that we're going to highlight, but there were 10 overall blessings that the Apostle Paul identified in Ephesians chapter 1. Now, Before I give you these, let me remind you something. The Apostle Paul is identifying 10 blessings of being in Christ, and he's in jail. Hello? I don't know if I'm thinking about blessing when I'm in jail. In fact, he never prayed, God, get me out of jail. I'd be praying, God, get me out of here. Wouldn't you? But what does he do? He begins to think of this church that he had started. He began to think of what God has done in his life, how God has forgiven him and redeemed him, how God called him, shone the light upon him, how he was very wealthy and he was very educated and he was highly spiritual, but he was totally lost. Now listen, it's really important. This message is so important because it is really a reflection of our society today. Highly intelligent, very religious, but yet lost. We talked about it in the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, how that there will be people who will stand before God. Jesus said this himself. He said, there are going to be people who will say to me on that day, they will say, Lord, didn't we teach Sunday school or didn't we preach? Because it says, didn't we prophesy or proclaim? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we cast out devils? And didn't we do many good works? And we walked through all those things. And Jesus looks at them and he says, depart from me, you lawless people. You're filled with iniquity. I never knew you. Not that I one time knew you, but I don't any longer. I never knew you. And in churches in America and around the world, there are people steeped in religion but have no concept. The Apostle Paul, it was a dynamic encounter with God, and it radically changed his life. Now, let me ask you, because I know there's some folks, I know some testimonies in this place. You were very religious, but very lost. Say amen. I know you. And God changed the destiny, changed the course of your life. So behooves us to listen closely to what this man's saying, because his life has been radically changed. He's broken out of religion, which few people get out of that trap. Because more people would rather win the argument than be right. He's broken out by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now he's planting churches and he goes to Ephesus. And we talked about Ephesus being that city that was the capital, if you will, of spirituality, of sexuality, import city, finance city. And Paul pulls in there to start a church. Boy, he began to preach, and he's preaching hard. They begin to bring all their devil worship stuff, their divination, all their books. They brought it out, begin to burn them. Now, this church had some issues, just like the island church. We have some issues, don't we? Working through our salvation with fear and trembling. But I'm going to tell you, they were tracking. Here's what I can tell you about the island church. We're tracking. Amen. The best is yet to come. Amen. So, the Apostle Paul starts in prison with all these things in mind. All of his, he's been beat. He's been left for dead, starved, lost at sea. All these things. And he's not praying, get me out. And he's not singing the blues. He's not a blues singer. David was a blues singer. There's some good blues in Psalm, let me tell you. But Paul's not singing blues. He's declaring victories. He's praising God in the midst of his dark days, his prison experiences. And this isn't the only time he's in prison. He wrote a book on joy from a prison. So I may think we ought to listen. There's something we can learn here. Amen? So here's what he says. Verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. Everybody say in Christ. In Christ. He's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So everything we're going to need for eternity, he's blessed us with. Now, I want to mention this quickly. We talk about it. I want to hit this quickly. When we talk about blessing, we tend to talk about blessing through the lens of living in America. And I hear expressions like, I'm blessed with a new car. And I'm blessed with a new home. And I'm blessed with a raise. And we seem to focus on material blessings as being the sign of God's favor. Now, let me tell you something. financial success does not equate to spiritual maturity. Never mistake that someone who has money, that they are somehow spiritually better or spiritually growing or spiritually succeeding. I'm not even going to go through the flip sides of this, because money is not the issue. See, the gospel has to be able to be preached. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not just for Western culture. The gospel can be preached where there's persecution. The gospel can be preached where there's an underground church. The gospel can be preached, should be able to be preached. The message should be able to reach in any situation on earth. And not just you'll get more money. You'll be more successful. I didn't ask to be born in America. I'm glad I was born in America. So what's my responsibility? My responsibility is I don't feel guilty about the fact that I have a vehicle to drive and I have a home and I have money to be able to do things that I want to do. I don't feel guilty about that, but I feel responsibility with that. Because the Bible says in Genesis 12, 1 and 2, that I am blessed to be a blessing. And if you're not a tither or a giver, if you're not generous, then God has issue. The issue is that God is not for greed. You look, greed is always in the list of those that are not going to inherit the kingdom. So, understand, when Paul says blessing, he's not looking at, there's not a lot he can say. He's in a dungy old jail. But he says we're blessed. Heavenly places, these blessings are going to last for all eternity. God blesses us in this earth, but you know what? It's for this day and it's for this time. And it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. And you might live to be 70, 80, 90, 100 years. You might live on this earth for a period of time, but you're not going to take it with you. But what God has for us, blessing in heaven, it will last for all eternity. How many know we're going to spend more time on that side of death than we do this side of death? And everything we need, Paul's saying, is provided in Christ. And so he starts in Ephesians 1:3, we're blessed in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. Everything we're talking about, the focus is Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. We are a Jesus people. Amen. Let's not allow Jesus people to be relegated to a bunch of hippies in the 60s. Let's allow it to be who we are right here at the Island Church. Amen. We're followers of Christ. Are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, He's called your name. He's called your number, tugged on your heart. You've responded. Are you in Christ? Then you have the grace of God and you're in the position of Christ. Now, here's where we struggle. I've had more people say, oh, Pastor, I've heard this, but it's just so hard. You know why? Because we think we have to do something. We get that Jesus died on the cross for us and he took our place. But when we think that he took our place and he put us in his place, then we think we have to work for it. No, you can't work for it. Think about it. We're blessed in Christ because we have faith in Christ. We have salvation in Christ. We have new life in Christ. We stand in the position of Christ and we receive the blessings of Christ. We preached what a wonderful thing to be in Christ. If you weren't here, you might take a look and listen. The second thing is the blessing of holiness. Blessed to be holy, Ephesians 1:4, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. Everybody here know Jesus is holy? The Bible says without holiness, no man will see God. A lot of us grew up, our holiness was a whole list of things that I didn't do or a whole list of things that I was supposed to do. But what is holiness? Well, holiness comes when I'm in Christ. You say, well, I know people who say they're a Christian, but they're not holy. See, if you are in Christ, here's what you have to understand. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you act. You want to change your life? Change the way you think. Change the way you think. It'll change the way you act. Do you see yourself as a sinner, or do you see yourself as in Christ? If you see yourself as a sinner saved by grace, sin is the focus, and that's just what we do because I'm in this world. Now, I'm never going to be perfect, so I might as well just sin. Or do you say, I'm in Christ, I'm a saint, and God is holy, Jesus is holy. If I'm in Christ, then I am positionally holy. Then what we do is we start to walk out or to practice holiness. Oh, did anybody get that? Was there only two people here? I wish my mama was here. There'd be three. Anybody grab that? Positionally, I'm holy. But now here's what has to happen. Is I have to have this progressive sanctification. I have to continue to daily die to myself and walk in holiness. See, positional holiness without practical holiness, it don't work. Positionally, I'm holy, and because I positionally know, then I can practically live. If I think, man, I'm holy, God says I'm holy, then when temptation comes, whatever phase of life, I'm not going to do that because I'm in Christ, and I'm holy because I'm in Christ. Folks, let's start living holy like we're in Christ, because we are. Change is everything. When we get our identity, when we get our identity right. And then we talk, of course, about predestination. Ephesians 1:4-5, verse number 5 says he predestined. Two words before that. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Predestined. The idea that God picked us first. That I didn't have a heart for God, but he had a heart for me. Because I was born into sin. Because I was in Adam. Remember us talking about Adam? And then Jesus is the new Adam? Because I was a part of that old Adam. Old Adam chose hell. I chose hell. God chose heaven. I chose damnation. God chose salvation. I chose to run from God, and God chose to run after me. I chose to shut the door, and God chose to knock on my door. He pursues us. Paul's writing, a man who hated Christians. Boy, but God went after him. How many in this room, God came after you? You know he came knocking on your heart's door. Today, blessed to be adopted. Ephesians 1:4-5, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. This is what Paul says is blessing. These are the things that are blessing to him. Being in Christ, being holy, blessed to be chosen, blessed to be adopted. Why is this adoption? Why is it important? Listen real close to me. 40%, here's why it's so important. 40% of kids tonight will go to bed without a father. For the first time in our nation's history, the majority of children born to women ages 30 and under are born out of wedlock. And so these children, they never have a dad. Now, some of you may have had a dad and he was a horrible dad. Some of you may have had a dad that abused you. Some of you may have had a dad that abandoned you. And some of you may be in the situation I'm in. I had a dad who loved me, loved on me, affectionate, kissed me, hugged me, tell me he loved me, and I tell him I love him back. It was just our family. It's who I am. I do that to my kids all the time. Luke, I love you. I love you, Dad. But you have to understand, if you're in that situation, not everyone is in that situation. And especially, now listen to me, because there's a lot of older people in our church. I want everybody a little bit older. I want you to listen real good. I want you to be faithful, and I want you to come to church, and I want you to pray and read your Bible and give. You are valuable. You are a foundation of this church. But hear me. We must reach the 20 and 30s crowd. We must reach high schoolers and junior hires and children. We must. And here's why this adoption thing is important. Because us baby boomers, life is a little bit different. People look at things different. But life today, millennials and young, it's not the same. And we have to be relevant. Our message will never be compromised. You can tell we're a Jesus people here. We love the Word of God taken in proper context. Oh, you ought to shout because of that. We believe that the Bible is inspired Word of God. But listen, there are people who've never experienced this idea of a father. In the Old Testament, God is referred to as Father only 14 times, and it's always on a national basis. It's never individually. It's never personally. But when Jesus comes, everything changes. Because Jesus comes and he says, now when you pray our Father. Well, the Pharisees, they were having a fit. They never heard this kind of thing before. This was radical to everyone. So Jesus, all he does is, I've come to do the will of my Father. My Father and I, we're tight, man. We flow. He talked about relationship. He talked about praying in an intimate, personal, affectionate language, a relationship of father. It was like a dad who loves me. Abba Father, adopted Abba Father. And so this whole idea of relationship with the Father, aren't you glad you live on the New Testament side of things? We have relationship with our Heavenly Father. Abba, Father. My daughter, Paige, she calls me Daddy, unless she's mad at me, and she calls me Dad. Luke calls me Dad. Michelle calls me Dad. Matt calls me Padre. Liz calls me her sugar daddy. And Freddie Ryder calls me Papa. But it's all about relationship. I'm in the family of God. He's Father. He's Daddy God. He's Daddy Papa. He's Abba Father. And so when you come into the family of God, when you become a Christ follower, you have a Father, and a Father who loves you and is concerned, who listens to you, who has good in store for you. You are a part of a family. You've never felt that sense of being a part of a family, but he makes you a part of a family. I mean, that whole idea of adoption, it's like, here's a kid, nobody was looking after him, now somebody's looking after him. He didn't have a daddy, now he's got a daddy. That's what our Heavenly Father, he's made us a part of the family. He looks after us and we have a Father. Christians, I've always had a heart for adoption in the early church. Listen to this. Children were literally thrown out, often thrown out into the street with the trash. Boys would be picked up as slaves or gladiators, and girls would be picked up as servants or prostitutes. And Christians went out and picked up these abandoned children and adopted them, because it's a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All who are in Christ are adopted. And whenever you adopt a child, you love that child. It's not your biological child, but you love that child. And you treat them with the same affection. And they get the same inheritance and the same blessing. And they're a part of a family. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ right there. You're adopted. He loves you. And he wants to bless you. Let me give you one more this morning. We're blessed to be redeemed. Ephesians 1 and verse number 7. Ephesians 1, in him we have redemption through his blood. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Now this is real good. I'm gonna say this quick and we'll land this thing. In our culture, we use language of addiction. The Bible uses language of slavery, something that's mastered us or enslaved us, harming, destroying. And see, the idea is we need redemption. We need to be freed. We need to be delivered. We need to be released. If you look and study redemption, redeeming, all kinds of variations, but hundreds of times you'll see it in the Bible. It traces back. What we're talking about here is walking in a new freedom. The Apostle Paul is bound in prison, and he's talking about a freedom, being redeemed. It traces back to the Exodus. In Egypt, God's people were ruled over by Pharaoh, and Pharaoh thought he was God. Pharaoh treated, but he wasn't a good God. He was a horrible, horrible leader. He treated the children of Israel with disdain. He worked them hard. He enslaved them. He made life so difficult. And so after these 300 years of being in this slavery, then here's what happened is God sent a deliverer to Egypt. It's a picture of Jesus coming to this earth. We know the miracle of his birth. We know the miracle of Jesus' birth. But we know the miracle of his birth, and we know Moses' life. Of course, Moses messed up, sent to the backside of the desert, comes back, commissioned by God. There's a lot of detail in all that, but we'll just go straight to the fact he's commissioned by God, goes to Pharaoh and says, hey, listen, you need to let God's people go. And Pharaoh laughed it off, hardened his heart. Sometimes he hardened his heart and sometimes God hardened his heart. And the whole reason God hardened his heart or he hardened his heart, it was all the grace of God that was working. It was all about God's grace to get God's people released and freed. The final conflict was this. After all these trials known as plagues, the final conflict was the promise that if you don't let God's people go, death will come to the firstborn son in every house that does not belong to the Lord. And so death was promised to every house in the nation of Egypt, with the exception of those families that in faith took a lamb without spot or blemish, showing that it was sinless, was the sinless substitute in faith, slaughtered that animal, took the blood, and then they painted the doorpost of their home with the blood of that. It was Passover, the blood of the Passover lamb. They painted the doorpost. And when the death angel came over that night, every home that didn't have the blood, faith in the blood, faith in the spotless lamb, and the blood that was applied, the death angel will come in, and if the blood wasn't there, death came to that house. Now, this is all very much connected to Jesus. Because think about this. When John the Baptist is down baptizing, he looks up and he said, "Oh my." He said, "The Lamb of God." He didn't say, "Cousin Jesus." He knew Cousin Jesus. But this time he didn't say, "Cousin Jesus." He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Paul tells the Corinthians, "Behold, our Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been slain." And so, see, death came to every home with the exception of those that had faith in the blood of the Lamb. Now, here's what happened in Egypt. All those homes that had blood, the Passover lamb, over their doorpost. Now listen, they were liberated, they were freed, they walked out of Egypt with their God. They got to the Red Sea, he opened the Red Sea, provided for them. And isn't it interesting, even in all of his provision, why they still got in there griping and fussing and grumbling, mowed and messed a lot of things up. But here's the idea. Redemption through his blood. That is our faith to be in the blood of the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, who takes away the sins of the world. My faith is in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. So here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, "I'm free. I used to be bound by religion so much that I killed Christians. I used to be bound. I'm in prison right now, but I'm really not bound. I am free. And the wrath of God passes over." See, we understand that that's going to happen. Jesus is coming back. And who's going to be saved? It's those who have the blood of Jesus, the Passover lamb that's applied to their life. Now, here's the awesome thing. Here's what Paul's saying. When we're in Christ, we're redeemed. Listen to me, because I think a lot of redeemed in Christ people live all bound up. And the idea is redemption. He's come to redeem us from our addictions, redeem us from our slaveries. He's called us to worship and to freedom in a new life. We no longer have to accept sin. We no longer have to accept our identity in sin. Our identity is in Christ. Sin no longer defines me, but Jesus defines me. I'm in Christ. Somebody say amen. How many Christians today are enslaved by food, are enslaved by sex, are enslaved by money, are enslaved by fame, are enslaved by power, are enslaved by glory or control or possessions or comfort or pride or fear, addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs? Here's what God wants to do. He wants you to realize you've been redeemed. If you're in Christ, you don't have to walk in those things. But like he walked into Jerusalem and like he caused the children of Israel to walk out free, he walks into our life and he causes us to have an encounter with God that changes our life and we're able to walk in freedom. Amen. Thank you, God. Luke, join me, would you please? People say, "Well, I struggle with that." Well, let me tell you what you need. Let me jump to the end. You need the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. He talks about forgiveness. How many are glad you're forgiven today? He talks about grace. How many are glad for the grace of God today? and that we know his will. How many are glad you know God's will? And God's will, the mystery for your life, that you know Christ first and foremost. And then we're blessed to have an inheritance, all these spiritual blessings. And we're blessed with the seal of the Holy Spirit. See, I am convinced more than ever, in Christ, and our identity is in Christ, and we keep the identity of in Christ in the forefront when we're in Christ. See, here's what happened. When Jesus walked on the face of this earth, the Holy Spirit empowered the earthly life of the Lord Jesus. And before he returned to heaven, he said this. He said, I will not leave you orphans, but I will leave one like myself, the Holy Spirit, who will abide. We understand that the Holy Spirit, it's a dynamite, dunamis. The person of the Holy Spirit is a power in our life to help us to walk out what we are in position, the position we are in Christ, to walk out practically, because I can't in myself, but by the power of the Holy Spirit and me working in conjunction with the Spirit, putting forth effort, I can walk in these blessings that God has for those in him. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand up. Lift your hands toward heaven and thank God for what he's provided.